If you have your Bibles and would like to look along, we are in Psalm 107 today, verses 1 through 3. Sermon is entitled today, Thank Ye the Lord, for He is Good. Again, we've arrived at Sunday before Thanksgiving Day. And for the first time in about a week or so, a cloudy sky out there, not too cold. It kind of looks like Thanksgiving in the mountains out there, doesn't it? We have arrived again at Sunday before Thanksgiving. It is an act ingrained in our national ethos. After all, that first autumn after our Puritan forebears landed in Massachusetts, they had with the first Americans there a season of Thanksgiving. We know about the various proclamations under Presidents Washington and Lincoln, among others. And finally codified, I think with economic things in mind, by a joint resolution of the House and Senate in 1941, our 77th Congress, and signed into law by President Roosevelt the day after Christmas, 1941, that we shall every fourth Thursday in November observe a national day of Thanksgiving. So, we come to it. And many in our culture will do some things, and we will share in those things, I think. I hope you will enjoy rest from your ordinary labors on the day. It's a good thing to do, is to catch a little rest right there. We expect to dine, don't we? We might even dine sumptuously. We might even dine a bit much sumptuously. This is not a sermon on gluttony. We'll probably, as we have opportunity with appropriate care and caution, enjoy family and friends to the degree that we can safely at this time. And some of us will feel this irresistible compulsion to watch sports on the day, whether it's the Dallas Cowboys in the afternoon late or the Detroit Lions early, those are the traditional Thanksgiving Day players, or something else, some bowl game, or collegiate football or something like that. Never forget, by the way, the line posed by Irma Bombeck, who once said that any man who sits through a football triple header on one day should be declared legally dead. Okay, these things may not be bad in and of themselves, okay? But in all of that, you should hear something missing. And the something missing is, we do well to worship the Lord on the day. We do well to thank Him for who He is and what He does. In particular, what He has done, is doing, and evermore shall do. We've got a guide here in these three verses from Psalm 107. Let's hear what the Lord would say to our souls today. This is His inerrant, inspired, infallible Word. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Here ends this brief reading from God's holy word. Let's pray. Father, open our ears now that we would hear Your word read and proclaimed. Open my mouth to declare Your word in this place. Open all our faculties to receive this gracious gift to our souls. We thank You for this time of preaching. And we pray that You will use it to save those who believe and to strengthen those who already do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We can answer a few questions about this passage, and it will form the large blocks by which we proceed today. We are called to do some things. What shall we do in view of this passage? Well, we should give thanks to the Lord, and we're to do it at all times. We often hear on this day that short verse from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And I'm afraid, beloved, and I have to say this to my own soul, if there were a mirror up, it means all circumstances. Sometimes we come to this day and Everything is wonderful. It's kind of like the character Emmett in the Lego movies. He has a little song. It's called Everything is Awesome. And sometimes we come to the day and everything is awesome. And sometimes we come to the day and it's far from that. We're not allowed to pick and choose. And so we're beset with stuff. We'll talk about it later once again. But we are called to render unto Him thanks on the day always. Another qualifier is we're to give thanks to Him in every word and deed. Paul, writing to the Colossian Christians, says, and whatever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's good. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's even better. In every word and deed, giving thanks. Some of you know that I am a recovering perfectionist. Some of you think I've not recovered very well. You may be right. But sometimes I'll miss a note, or a few notes, or mess up an entire phrase at the piano, or something like that. Giving thanks anyway. I'm encouraged by Julia Child. You remember the French chef. She had a little more bravery than most folk. Sometimes it would not go well on the set, and whatever she was making didn't turn out the way she had planned. She would say, "Oh, that's too bad. Bon appétit." That's what she'd say about it. And so sometimes it's like that for us as well. In every word and deed, give Him thanks. More than that, we are to say something. Literally from the Hebrew, you will say, you can forget the grammar lesson. You can translate that with just of force as the ESV does. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We are to say some things. We are to declare some things. This is another thing we are to do. We are to declare what is true of God to God. He is glorified as we declare His acts in His own ears. When we make much of Him for His creation and His redemption and His coming consummation, this glorifies Him and it lifts us as well. One thing to do when downcast is praise the Lord, for He lifts us up in spirit when He does it, when we do that, and He can work through us. Those are 70s and 80s contemporary Christian songs that tell us this, but they're true. So we declare what is true to God. Say ye, let the redeemed of the Lord say so to God. Let us say so to Him, to our own souls as well, for instruction and for encouragement. Sometimes it's really hard to remember the greatness of God when we feel like we're being absolutely crushed by His providential weights upon our lives. But the fact of the matter is we need to declare these things to our own souls. The psalmist asks in Psalm 42, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so downcast within me? Put your hope in God," he says, "for I will yet praise Him, either by the help of His countenance," or different translation of the same words, "my Savior and my God." Why so downcast? Put your trust in God. So we declare these things, what is true about Him, particularly of His works, we'll see that in the rest of 107, to our own souls. We declare this to other Christians too. Be careful how we declare it though. Sometimes to the hurting soul, it may not do if we are too chipper or too flip about how we throw out these helps, but we do need to encourage one another with the truths from the Word of God about God's acts and that they are good toward us. And we do the same to non-Christians, that they may be drawn to Christ. You know, they might be going through a problem and they may say, "I don't know if you're into this or into whom I'm about to tell you about, but I know a man, a God man, who helped me with this problem or that set of circumstances. And maybe He will help you." You know how this goes. So we declare His goodness to everybody as we have opportunity. So what to do? We're to give thanks to Him. We're to declare His mighty acts. Who's to do this? We read, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Namely, the ones He has gathered in, the likes of you and me. Now, many of you know, in addition to being a recovering perfectionist, that I'm almost painfully shy. And so it's sometimes hard to push those words out. And in terms of personality, it's kind of hard to do because I'm a good deep Southern. Most of us congenitally are born with 10 tons of reserve, and we are carrying this stuff around. all our lives. But I do not want to be in the position of being quiet about the praise of my God, and I have to be shamed by a rock crying out, according to Luke chapter 19. So, we want to do this. We who are redeemed of the Lord, let us say so, declaring various things. Why then, third, to give thanks? Here we go. Simply because He is good. He is good, and the balance of Psalm 107 tells us this. I have long noted certain things about it, that this is very much hymn-like. You know, hymns have verses and refrains, right, or choruses. Well, Psalm 107 seems to have this thing running again and again in it. The people of God, for whatever reason, get into various distresses. We'll look at them in a minute. And then, over and over again, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distresses. They delivered them from, some of them wandered in desert wastes. They were hungry, they were thirsting, they were fainting, they could not get to a secure place, and God brought them to a safe dwelling place. Let us thank the Lord. It will go on. That's a kind of a subsidiary refrain. Let us thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men. Those who are incarcerated due to their sins against God, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God, and so forth. He brought them to fatherly chastisement. They cry out to the Lord. He delivers them from their distress. Same thing for those self-afflicted through their foolish, sinful ways as we go down the psalm. God heals by sending His word. And those who are tossed on the storms of the sea doing business on the great seas, God brings to their desired haven after stilling the storm. I have never been a mariner. You know, a guy who goes out there and is on the water a lot, or big water a lot. But I can imagine from what I read from the National Weather Service and from what I've heard from folk who have done it, that that's not something I want to do. I do not want to be out there when the waves are more than about the little gentle lap-ups that you see at any of our area lakes. But sometimes they're out there, and sometimes, like the Apostle Paul and certain others on that boat when he was going across the Mediterranean trying to get to Rome, they despaired of life. And the Lord brings them to their desired haven. Why to give thanks? Because the Lord is good. He's gotten us out of a lot of stuff that should have afflicted us a lot worse than it did. Here's another reason to give thanks. Because His steadfast love endures forever. Steadfast love, Hebrew chesed, is a thing that's a little hard to describe, but it's precious. It's this stubborn, flinty, oh love that wilt not let me go kind of love. I mean, it's just tenacious and it's deep and we are safe and we couldn't extricate ourselves from it even if we wanted to. And He exhibits His steadfast love toward us in many ways. He does it in redemption or delivering us from enemies and troubles. Well, we may have them, but if we'll look back, led by the Spirit, He's gotten us out of other ones. And pretty big ones if we got any sort of mileage on us. He has preserved our lives from death. We've talked about it here in this place. And a lot of times when I'm with guys, occasionally it comes up, you know, knuckleheaded stuff that we were saved from in spite of ourselves, and we're here to talk to each other about it. Yeah. That's another exhibition of God's steadfast love. Here's another one. He quickens or makes to live our spiritual life. You know, God for us is much more than simply a word, a three-letter one at that. I mean, He's all for us. And it is the Spirit of God that has done that for us. You remember a time you really didn't read that book, the Bible? Remember a time you really didn't want to spend time in prayer? Funny thing, as you come to know Him, as He begins to work on your life, He changes your desires. He changes your desires. And that's quickening of our spiritual life. Here's another way He shows His steadfast love. In redeeming us from sin. He could have left us there. And He'd be no less holy and no less just. But He showed His great mercy. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. His steadfast love to us endures forever. It goes on to beyond my ability to express time in the future. The corollary to that is that it goes on without interruption. Not only does it go to eternity, But there are no places in which His steadfast love is not operational for us. It's there all the time, whether we perceive it or not. It's there even when we think it's not. Without end, without interruption. These are good reasons to give thanks to the Lord, because He is good and His steadfast love endures forever. Now again, you don't need this reminder, but let's get it into the record. We live in a nation today and a world that is beset with all kinds of problems. I kind of see what the Lord is saying through Solomon and Ecclesiastes. The more wisdom, the more sorrow. You know, if you know more about what's going on out there, it's a little hard to be cheerful at times. You know, this coronavirus pandemic and its related ills, relational, economic, etc. All these things. Maybe there's an end in sight. We pray there is, but we still got some country to travel. So we need to get through that. That's tough. Then we're still dealing with this political uncertainty and upheaval. It has been a quadrennial panegyric this time around. And we pray that the Lord will do something about that, but we're still living in it just now. And we see on our television sets, and maybe we perceive it in the little comments section at the end of our news articles or whatever, this widespread antipathy, one against another, group against group, even widespread hatred. Not exactly the most fun time we have ever had in world and national life. And because of these, and maybe other reasons more particularly suited to your situation, it may be hard to give the Lord thanks today. It may be hard to, well, feel thankful. The real test, and boy, it's been put on trial for me. I just assume not be put on anymore, but I'm pretty sure it will be. The real test of thanksgiving is rendering it when you don't feel like rendering it. But God commands it, and that's enough. When my children were small, because I said so is enough. But as they get older, they need other things. So obey me and I'll give you another reason. And that's, I find that's kind of how God deals with us. He commands it, yes, but it becomes pleasant and good to us in view of His being and deeds. We comply with great joy because He is good. It sometimes seems that He may not be, but He's not mean. He's not capricious. He's not willy-nilly. He's not looking down and says, you know, I think I'm just going to afflict Jordan today just because. Kind of bad, too. Let's see what he can handle. Just because. He's not like that. And he's not like that as he deals with you. He's good. And he does good, we read in Psalm 119, verse 68. So when it seems like he's not good, pray back his own scripture. You are good and do good. And see what he'll do with that. His steadfast love for you and for me endures forever. You and I can foul it up royally, and we may have fatherly chastisements, very painful, and we may inflict a whole lot of collateral damage out there. Yet, know this, His love in Jesus is never taken from you. He still loves you. And loves you no less. His steadfast love endures forever. Our perception of our love of God, of God's love for us, many times appears to be directly proportional to our sense of performance before Him. If we think we're doing great, yeah, we think we're loved. And if we're just completely stinking it up before Him, we don't think He loves us very much. You see how that's tied to performance in our minds? But it's not. His steadfast love endures forever, independent of how we feel about our performance of our duties before Him. He loves us. It doesn't go away. And that will do something for my thankfulness before Him. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord, gathered into His covenant family from everywhere, from every location, from every fallen spiritual state, in particular sets of things that would disqualify us from being before Him. In view of all of that, redeemed of the Lord, say so. In our own hearts, to Him, to one another, other believers, to even those of our acquaintance who do not know Him. And we'll trust that He'll spread good all over the place. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. Let's pray. I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity again to pray, proclaim Your Word, and I come again confessing the defects accompanying. I know of some, and You know it to the full. In spite of that, Lord, You are good, and Your steadfast love endures forever. So I pray that You will receive this act of worship from us, that You will bless it to our souls upbuilding, and that You will make us and keep us a thankful people. And all this for Your glory, O three in one God, we pray in Jesus. Amen.